is food for thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's food for thought.
Welcome back. Top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Listening to The Pulse, 107.7, WTPLFM.com. You can also stream us live there, powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And it's Healthy Monday. We just had a little short course in how to study.
Very important, though. I think we sometimes underestimate the importance of good study habits. Whatever it is that works for you, and parents need to reinforce it. And if you don't do that, if you don't have good study habits early on in life, then it's, he's right. It's going to be tough to be successful unless you're really resourceful.
Right.
And, a self-made person, which most people are not.
And, we're talking about, now with the access of phones and Google and all that, when I see a word I don't know, it's like, boom.
Well, sure.
Right to,
there's no shame in that. That's smart to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ichthyology or whatever that was.
Ichthyology.
Yeah.
The study of fish?
A fish, yeah.
Never heard of that
You
word.
Would have thought, gillology or something or...
Gillology.
But a lot of words don't look anything like they end up meaning, ichthyology. Now, I'm sure there's probably some Greek roots to that part of it that would have led us to it had we known, but we didn't. I guess I missed class that day.
Must have.
That day in biology when we studied ichthyology.
I know, really.
I was there for Lepidopterology, the study of butterflies, but
is that what that is?
Entomology is study of insects. A lepidopterist is a person who studies butterflies.
Wow.
Just, again, useful information that really, you throw it out there once in your lifetime and, then never use it again.
It's true. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Exactly.
Crazy. All right.
Did we ever get to the food holiday today? Oh, yeah, we did.
We did.
We did.
It was
a bunch of
waffle,
stuff. Waffle day. Yeah.
And peach pie day.
Well,
peach coffee.
Pretty good recall there. You got three
Not
out
bad,
of four.
Huh?
I think there was four.
And then water week.
Water week, yes. This Friday, by the way, because next Monday, a week from today, is National Bacon Day, our comedy Cold Cuts will be bacon. And you know what's really funny is I was going through, as I go online, I look for comedians that do stuff on whatever the theme is, and there wasn't much. So what I did is I Googled in bacon.
Bacon?
I know. You
I'm
would think
surprised.
So. Well, again, stuff that's usable on a family station.
Okay. All right.
However, I then Googled bacon songs. Holy cow.
Really?
You can't believe how many people have written funny songs about bacon. One of which is Rub Some Bacon On It, which is very funny.
Yikes.
So we'll have a few songs and a few stand-up comedy routines on Friday because next Monday is National Bacon Day. It'll be fun.
That's
Friday, it is, 12:30 to 1. So just thinking
nice.
About that. All right, so you have your dog, Molly. You love your dog. I see pictures of Molly on
She's
Facebook.
So cute.
I have a little doggie, not that unlike your dog, a little bit bigger and not quite the same breed, but, they would probably have fun playing together. So here's something, dog beer. Does Molly ever get dog beer?
No.
According to the Indy Star, Indiana brewery Flat 12 Beer Works has made a dog-friendly, non-alcoholic beer so that you and your doggie can enjoy a cold one while watching a game at the bar.
OMG.
The dog beer concept made sense to the brewery as all the employees had dogs and probably always wondered what it would be like to enjoy a cold one with their four-legged pals. The ingredients in the beer consist of meat bone trimmings, carrots, potatoes, and brewer's yeast. Just like a real brew, they let the stock simmer for 3 hours before and then throwing it in a keg. The brew crew has tested the beer on their dogs, whom apparently love it, and have even tasted it themselves, saying it tastes like beef broth. So I don't know if it has a head on it. I guess it must be if they do some fermenting. We've seen special beers made for doggies before when Bowser Beer made a six-pack back in 2012, but Flat 12 plans to have their brew on tap. Really?
Oh, my.
Well, but, there are some businesses that welcome in pets. For instance, maybe like in Florida or in a warm place where there's a lot of open bars and stuff like that that welcome pets. It's on tap, Flat 12. Best of all, they'll be giving the earnings from this beer to local animal shelters.
Oh. Interesting.
So, I don't know. I mean, the ingredients look healthy.
I'd like to see what hear what Michael Helpley Pierce has
to say. Yeah, we won't see him for about a week and a half. Meat, bone trimmings, carrots, potatoes, and brewer's yeast. I mean, that's healthy stuff. And it will not, so it won't be fermenting. I wondered out loud about that, but so it will not become alcoholic in nature. It'll just be, you know, all those things all put together in a stock. Would you
enjoy a brew with your dog?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A little extra bonding. Would I? Probably not, because I think dogs need to be on really strict diets.
Exactly.
That don't change up very much. You know, very few table scraps once in a while. You know, if I give her a little bit of steak, it can't have marinade in it because it just might upset, you know, right. There's stuff in there that, and I find if you do change it up drastically, then they're pooping all over the house.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I mean, once you get your dog housebroken, you want to keep it that way.
That's right.
And yeah, there'll be an occasional accident, not a problem, you know, that happens. And people would probably have the same if we didn't understand control and stuff like that. But so there it is.
I started to check out this. Doesn't that salad look beautiful?
Most elegant summer salad ever. It does look good from here.
Doesn't that look beautiful?
It does.
And, you know, I've never used this, but it's Betty Crocker's Suddenly Salad pasta salad mix. It's like
okay.
a mix.
All right.
But then you add different things to it. I've never used that. See, it's that box right there.
I see.
That.
So it's a product in
yeah.
the store.
Yeah. But then you add things to it.
All right, so I assume all the fresh elements need to be like lettuce and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, Dijon mustard, grape tomatoes, shallots, goat cheese, olives and capers, fresh parsley, and thinly sliced prosciutto. And
so you add that part, right?
You add all that stuff to this.
What are they giving
the,
you?
They give you the pasta and the seasonings, but then you add, they were just kind of making it a little bit more, like with the Dijon mustard and dressing packet.
See, I would wonder, and I don't know if they list what the ingredients are in the seasoning, because you wonder how many things that you can't pronounce that you could easily make with some of the healthy solution spice blends. See, I would think you could take some of that stuff and probably make salad dressings. I've not done that.
Sure.
Just add a little oil and vinegar. And I'd have to take a look and see which ones might lend themselves to that. But I bet you like the chicken and pork rub. Would you know, that makes me want to go home and try that.
You
now.
Know, that is
pull out
a
one
really
of those
neat idea.
Little cruets
cruet
I got from
things.
Seven
yeah,
Seas.
Exactly.
You know, because I just wouldn't buy that now. And
they
and
still sell see. Them.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Oh, Tiffany's standing by to chat with us. Good.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
So
I have a question for you guys. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, you had mentioned a food truck that was serving, like, Taylor ham, and you had interviewed the guy from the truck. And my father and I are trying to find a place to lunch, and we're trying to locate that food truck. And we don't remember any information besides that they serve Taylor ham.
Well, I can tell you who that is. In fact,
okay.
that's our guest who's coming in about 15 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Steve Freeman.
Steve Freeman. Manchester Food Co-op. What you need to know now,
okay.
Kimberly, is that the food truck is not, at this point, a truck that actually prepares food. There
okay.
is some there is some discussion that they may do something along those lines. And
okay.
and I would say that if you want to call back in a few moments when Steve is here with specifically about that food combination. But the food truck on which, again, is the Manchester Food Co-op, will be traveling around town selling some of the local farmers products
oh.
and other things, because
okay.
eventually they will have a bricks and mortar location. They're still working on that. But to kind of
okay.
get people used to it, that's what the food truck is. But there's also some I think they're considering the possibility of maybe doing some kind of prepared foods on board, but that is not
okay.
that's not official.
Not
so,
in existence yet. That's great.
Right.
I will, if I have a moment, I will definitely call back.
Yeah, definitely, because then you could
okay.
you could direct your question more specifically to him. I don't want to answer
okay.
on his behalf, but he'll
all
be
right.
in about 15 minutes.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tiffany. Thank
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy your day. Bye-bye.
Same to you. And we should mention the phone lines are always open. If you want to just throw, you hear us talking about something, or even if it's not related, we'll stop and take your call at 866-823-1077. We always appreciate your input, your questions. Well, if we can't find you an answer, we won't make it up. We'll tell you that we don't know, but we'll try to find it for you.
Exactly.
All right, so that salad, back to the salad.
So, you know, that is a good – I want to check out
yeah.
that box and see what is in the ingredients
right.
on that.
I would definitely would
right.
not buy that unless I knew that it was stuff that I can pronounce – Because, you know, making your own salad dressing isn't, you know, I mean, it's not real easy. You need to typically use an immersion blender. Or you can just do something with some vinegar and a little bit of oil and maybe something from Healthy Solutions. I'm going to take a look at those packs, Carol, and see what might make a good salad dressing or marinade at the very least.
Definitely.
It may not serve as a – but this is definitely could be marinade stuff.
Definitely marinade. Some olive oil with it, shake it, and
– Exactly. Ooh. So here's a question I was thinking about for you. You and Daryl had been trying a couple of different meal delivery systems. I know there was two that you tried, one you liked. Are you still on that? Are you still doing that at all?
We stopped it a little bit. You know, in the summer, busy, and I was taking a couple of days off, so we stopped it.
Do you think?
But I'll probably re-up it.
Oh, you do think that you will continue to, huh?
Yeah. Plated. I like the plated, not the Blue Apron.
Plated and Blue Apron are the two.
Yeah.
And as we...
There's another one out there, too, I've been
looking at. I'll bet you there's more than just
a couple
more.
Called Hello Fresh.
Oh, really?
I've been seeing that one on Facebook quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, see, I would look at that as something I would do more in the winter when you don't necessarily always have access to local ingredients. Speaking of which, Max Apples in Londonderry, I live fairly close to there, so that's where I typically will stop, and I've told you how much I love their peaches, and they're out there right now, and I had one for breakfast today.
Yum.
Because not every place has peaches, but as part of their massive apple orchards complex, they grow some vegetables, and they have peaches that get picked when they're ripe. And not just before they're ripe. So they get them in there, they sell them, they go pick some more. But the farm will now be under the direction of actually a good friend of mine, Andy Mack. I just happened to be there Saturday and I saw him because typically he has another job during the day. So I don't see.
So is this one of the children?
Yes, this is one of the sons.
Okay.
So the farm opened, I want to say, in 1732, same family. So Andy said, this will be our 283rd harvest this fall.
That
how awesome is that?
Is really awesome.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. 17.
Yeah, 1732. Now, I'm thinking that probably, well, that, I don't know, because somebody's going to call and say that's not true. But I remember there was a farm that closed in the Seacoast area, or just, you know, they liquidated, sold the land. And it was the oldest family working farm in New Hampshire. And I would bet that the Mack Orchards in Londonderry must be at 283 years.
It has to.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be, and there are probably people that will challenge that. But I'm without doing any research, I'm thinking that's got to be up there at 283 harvests. And he was explaining to me the challenges of
running. How old is he?
Running. Andy is probably, you know, I don't know, I would say in his mid-50s to late-50s. I would say his wife was the principal for many years at Matthew Thornton Middle School in Londonderry. In fact, I think her name is Carol as well. And so she retired a couple of years ago to do more with the family business. But he and his wife live on property there in a big old farmhouse, of course, that's been in the family for many, many years. And he said, you know, it's running a farm like that is typically not much more than a break-even proposition. You know, they have a nice ice cream stand, which is good for a couple of months, and they have go pick your own, and they sell their own produce, and they also sell a lot of artisan stuff from local farms or people like me that make stuff.
Now, that's Max Apples.
Yes.
I think I go to Wilson Farms.
Wilson Farms is in Litchfield.
Okay.
Which
okay.
is also a beautiful place.
So where now? Max Apples is
Max Apples,
Londonderry.
Real, real simple. It is. Of course, your restaurant's off exit 5. Go down.
Is it 4?
You could actually get off at have a nice meal at the Red Arrow, then shoot across 93 the other direction, and when you get to Mammoth Road, hang a left. There's a mobile station on the corner there, and then drive just a few miles, 5 miles down. It'll be on your left. Very close.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be on your left. Maybe 5, maybe a little bit more. It's actually just a little bit past Londonderry Center, where the high school, the middle school, Matthew Thornton, and the fire complex and the library.
I hear a lot about that farm, and I think I went when I was a kid, but I usually will head to Wilson's for whatever reason.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's a little closer to where you live, but this is closer to where where your restaurant is,
right.
And it's worth the trip, I think. I mean, if you love peaches. And there's probably other people that sell peaches that raise them, but it's close to my house, and they are always huge and juicy, but only for a couple weeks.
Well, you know, it's funny because we went to Wilson like a week or so ago and got some peaches.
They had peaches? Okay.
They weren't that great.
Really?
Yeah. I was a little disappointed. They didn't taste anything.
Interesting. Well, maybe they
were juicy.
Maybe
but
they picked them a little earlier than maybe.
That's why I want to go check out Max Farm.
I would, but I wouldn't wait because
it's the window must be closing.
Yeah, they've been there. I believe the 12th they opened up the live produce stand where they have some of their vegetables they raise. They have corn, fantastic corn.
Oh,
I mean, who doesn't love corn?
Corn has been so good.
Yes, and of course apples, the early apples, but you know the apples in large part will be coming a little bit later. But the peaches are huge and juicy and tasty, and they always are. So that would be my recommendation if you're living down in that area. And I'm sure there are other farms.
Oh, here comes Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah. There's my portrait is now being delivered just in time. So, yeah, and I'm sure when Steve comes in, you know, we always trumpet the use of local vegetables.
I wonder what he's going to talk about today. I was trying to guess. Not sure.
Well, he'll be in just a couple of moments. So that's always good stuff to talk about. In fact, you know what I want to talk to him about is something I found today online that we talk about with him a lot, and that is ugly produce. We've talked about the fact that that a lot of what food gets raised gets thrown out. And I forget what the percentage is, but it's huge. It's a ridiculous amount, and there is actually a company that is addressing that and doing something with it that I think he'll be interested in and might give the co-op an idea for another revenue stream.
Ooh, I'm sure he'll be all over that.
Yes.
Farmers markets. I've been going weekly to the Bedford ones on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoy it. Do you know they had a knife sharpening guy there last
Did
week?
They really?
Yeah.
So bring your knives.
Bring your knives.
Sure.
And he sharpens knives.
I love that.
That was a really cool idea.
That's a great idea. What does he get or do you? Did you have yours?
It was, I didn't. I went and he was there and I went, oh my gosh, what a great idea. And I did chat with him a little bit. I think he said, I think $6 a knife.
And see, I'm wondering how often you should do that. And I'm thinking probably a lot because, you know, when you watch any of these food shows, they're always sharpening their knives.
Yeah.
And I'm, again.
Do you sharpen your own at home?
No.
Do you have one of those?
Yeah, we have a thing that, you know, I don't know if I'm doing it right or not.
Me neither.
I really don't know.
I know. Mine actually right now need to be sharpened.
But it pays to have good knives. You know, if you have to spend a little extra on them. You know, if it feels heavy, a heavier knife typically or traditionally is generally a better knife for some reason. And do you prefer plastic or wood cutting boards?
I have both. Mm-hmm. I probably more use my plastic one.
I do too. And I'm told, and I think I read or heard somewhere, that the plastic will dull the knife blades faster than the wood. Yeah, I mean, it's worth looking up.
Yeah.
Maybe Steve will know because he's been a chef.
And maybe the, I bet you the knife sharpening guy would know that, probably.
I'm sure he would.
You know?
He would probably give you one recommendation over another on that.
Well, he'll probably make you use the dull one, so you have to go through him more.
Yeah, that's right. Use plastic all the time, and then come see me every 10 minutes.
You know, coming up at Johnny Troy's, we went there a few weeks ago,
I
grabbed...
That's right near the airport, right?
Triangle in the triangle
where the two roads kind of fork off.
Yep. But he says it's really, really popular. They're doing a cruise night coming up August 29th. And he says they do specials during the show and such. So actually the year of your car is your pizza slice price. So if your car is 1965, you'll pay 65 cents per slice of pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was born in 1901. I'll just pay a penny. Well, that's cool.
No, it's so you pay the price of your what the year of your car
is. Well, I have a 1901 Model T.
You know, did you go over and look at the cars yesterday?
I didn't because I had to sit at my booth. But I love – those are fun, the classic car shows. When about 2 months ago in Boston when my family came to visit my 17-year-old car freak nephew, we went to Brookline, Mass., and they had a Corvette car show. And there were hundreds of Corvettes there. I mean, you know, the fancy.
That's right. Your nephew likes those cars.
That's
right.
Right. Well, he likes any cars.
Okay.
But we wanted to find at least one car show while he was in New England. And so the only one we could find that was close to, like, where my daughter lives was in Brookline. And so we went to this this wonderful grounds that's also now a transportation museum. And it's fantastic. And the people are such, they just love their cars.
Yeah, and we'll they answer. Do. Car people are car people.
Yeah.
My dad's a car people.
But you know what I did? And I took a bunch of pictures of vanity plates on those cars. And there were some really, really clever and funny ones for people that own Corvettes.
Speaking of pictures, before we go to break, because Steve Freeman is in-house.
Yes.
What was that picture you posted this morning?
You mean the meatloaf feet?
Yes.
Getting a ton of response.
That, I looked at that and I went, oh my.
Yeah. It's meatloaf molded into a pair of feet. And I think it's like using onions for toenails. And then it's cut off at the ankle and it looks like there's a bone there. And it's got a little bit of ketchup to make
probably
it look like blood.
Soup bone that
probably
stuck in there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So it looks, I mean, whoever did it, you know, did a really good job of molding these feet. And it is kind of gross looking, but it is funny.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm glad I remembered that.
Yes.
All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. Wake the Health Up America. Steve Freeman, his segment is up next.
He's America's latest sensation, Steve Freeman, as you know.
He is. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy talking with him. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hold on.
Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are in studio with Steve Freeman, Wake the Health Up America, and we're finding out some interesting information about Steve here.
Don't give it away yet. I'm going to do a magazine story on it.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
But anyway, Steve, welcome. Good to see you, as always.
Thank you.
We had a call that I think was intended for you a few moments ago. It was tough to really tell.
It must have been. I mean,
yes.
I don't know, though. She did mention Taylor Ham, so I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
And then I can't remember who we were talking to about Taylor Ham.
No, I don't either. But she mentioned food truck, and there aren't many in this area. I know there's a couple, like there's a cupcake truck and maybe one or two other ones, but this area doesn't seem like it's friendly to food trucks from a welcoming point of view because of regulations. It seems like it makes it tough for people.
Isn't there a taco truck somewhere around here?
There's a taco truck that's parked permanently in their sort of in their parking lot.
Attached to the store. Yeah, like up off of Union Street.
Right in the inner
city,
yeah.
But that doesn't count. You can't go to cool events and stuff if you're stuck in one place. But you do have a food truck. The Manchester Food Co-op, Steve, is a member of that.
Correct. The Manchester Food Co-op sort of publicly announced the initiative last Thursday night at a meeting that was very well attended at CCA Global, one of the best cooperative businesses in the world, right here in the Mill Yard of Manchester. We're changing the name from food truck to a mobile pantry or mobile market. We're still fine-tuning the name because people hear food truck, they think, can I get a cheeseburger and a hot dog sort of thing? And we are not setting out to prepare foods on site right now. We're setting out to bring you a small co-op mobile market so you can buy dried goods, fresh produce, shelf-stable products, maple syrup, honey, our apparel, our merchandise, our wood cutting boards. Maybe have a mobile knife sharpening service. Who knows? It's
Isn't
open.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. I think a mobile knife sharpening service. There we go. Is anyone listening? Add that to the docket.
When I saw it at the Bedford Farmers Market, I was like, that's pretty
yep,
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Better wood or plastic for your knives?
For sharpness, I heard you say that. I've not heard that. Glass and stone, I never use.
Right.
Those are bad for your knives. They're sharp and they have little tiny microscopic ridges.
Yes.
Plastic is NSF approved in most, if it has a stamp on it. That's what commercial kitchens use. I use wood at home 95% of the time. When I'm cooking for an army, I take out my plastic because it's a huge board. It's very light. It cleans very easily and quickly and dries quickly, which is what I like about it.
Yes.
And on the subject of knives, in the Hippo, they always have, you know, chef of the week.
Yes.
What are your one or three kitchen tools you can't live without? For me, it's my knife, a cutting board, and running water. Because I remodeled my kitchen years ago, and I didn't have water. And I realized
what?
I took the sink out.
I thought you lived in a home that didn't have plumbing.
I took the sink out, so I was using the bathtub, and it was then that I learned that this is the most valuable thing because you got to wash things. You got to wash your hands, your tools, your cutting boards, et cetera. So knife, cutting board, and running water with a drain are crucially important.
How long were you using your bathtub, or were you without a sink?
I was about a month. It was my first kitchen remodel. I was eager to do it, and I was early 20s. Mm-hmm. So I was cooking a lot of dried goods and fresh raw food at the time. And I learned that, you know, a sink is a crucial thing. And when I've remodeled kitchens as of late, I always try to keep the sink standing because you can chop on your living room table or dining room table. You can cook on your camp stove. But without a sink that you can put your hands in and wash your hands or wash your produce, it's tough to cook at home.
Very good point.
And on the subject of a knife, if nobody answered that for you yet, I've had my knife for about 26, 27 years, one knife. And it's the best investment I've ever made. It was, you know, over $100 when I bought it.
Is it a Henkel or give us the brand?
It's a Henkel.
Yeah.
And it's a 12-inch chef's knife, and it's been professionally sharpened.
Yeah, it has some heft to it, right?
It has some heft, and I've probably nicked myself once or twice, not with my knife, but with dull knives. Dull knives cut you. Sharp knives cut the food you're trying to cut. It's a very valuable lesson. If you can't cut through a tomato, sharpen your knife. Because you're going to cut yourself.
Now, did you say that knife that you've had for a long time, you only had it sharpened once?
Professionally sharpened. Because I have a steel at home. I don't have the new fancy diamond steel. It's an old school steel that a chef gave me when I started out. And I typically steel my knife between each product I'm cutting. Because every product has a different makeup that affects your knife differently. So just give it a quick you can't see that, but and it takes the flattening of the blade and puts it back to a point. And it's a very easy thing to learn. And if you do make an investment in a beautiful knife, and I don't encourage the 10-piece, 12-piece with 16 steak knives and scissors and weed whackers attached to it, just get yourself a really good 10. Well, depending on your hand, I have noticed when female friends help me, my knife is too large for them. It's heavy. It's unwielding. Typically for ladies, they like a 6 or 8-inch knife. Men, 10 or 12-inch knife.
Size matters in the kitchen.
Size Thank does you. Matter. But if you're working a lot, if you like to cook a lot, the weight of the 10-inch knife or 12-inch knife, it does all the work for you. It's like cutting like a hot knife through butter when you have a beautiful knife. And buy them from a knife store. Don't buy them from a discount variety store. Get yourself a quality
but
knife.
But isn't a Henkel a Henkel a Henkel, depending on no matter where you buy it?
You can only buy Henkels, I believe, like Paul Mitchell Hair Care. Only had authorized
right.
dealers.
Like Macy's.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but don't take your coupon in because one of the 600 things that the coupons doesn't apply to is probably Henkel knives. Yep.
But a knife is very valuable.
Good point. We never talk about that, Carol.
No, we don't.
And we really should. I'm not educated in knife sharpening skills, and I need to.
Me neither.
Because I do use it a lot.
Mine needs to be sharpened right now, too.
Really?
I have Cutco.
Those are from
the
home
college
show,
kids.
Right?
Yeah, my daughter sold Cutco for quite, and you probably had a kid or a neighbor that sold it. And I find
and
the Cutco knives
expensive.
Are decent. They're expensive.
I do find, and lifetime warranty.
Yeah.
You can use it to change your tire.
And you can send them back to Oneida, New York, where they make them, and they will sharpen them at no cost.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yep.
For as long as you have it. You sent it out, and I don't know who pays the shipping on that. I'm not sure. You probably do.
Okay.
But you can do that as much as you need to, and they will sharpen them for you.
Some of those Cutcos had right in the block or the sheath, every time you put it in, it sharpens it.
Yeah,
is that a good way to do it, do you think? I mean, is that effective?
Yeah, it keeps your knife a steel, a clean edge.
All right, so I don't have one of those. What's it called again? It's called a steel?
It's called a steel. Right. It's just a shaft of steel.
So Barb has something that looks like scissors, and you just kind of run it through, and you hear it go, and it, you know, I don't know if that's as good as the way you do it.
Well, that's a sharpener.
Okay.
If it's going a roo thing, plugged in. That's
you
an
see these too.
That's not electric. I don't think it's electric. But
okay, but if you're running it through.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Actually, no, they make them stationary too. So that kind of does the same thing.
Right. It's not as good probably. As
well, it's different. That's typically ceramic. And that, I can't stand the sound it makes. So it makes me grind my teeth, so I don't use it. It hurts for me to do it. And some of them, actually, I have one. I actually bought a Henkel's, and it's two steel blades in a V position.
Yeah, I think that's it.
And it curdles my blood when I pull it through.
Like fingernails on a chalkboard?
That doesn't bother me. For whatever reason, that doesn't bother me.
How about chewing aluminum foil?
Well, that hurts me because I have cavities. That sends voltage through my body. But anyways, I use that piece of steel very rarely, and I have to like put a gauze in my mouth because it makes me clench my teeth, so I don't like using it. So I just use this. Listen, it's just my own issue, but I just use the steel every time I cook. Mm-hmm. Every time I use my knife, I steel it. And also, clean your knife when you're done with it. Don't let it sit overnight and let those food acids eat away at your knife.
Yeah.
And in commercial business, they always tell you, never put a knife in a sink, ever.
Yeah.
Because you'll reach into that sink at some, you'll reach into that sink, and or your child will, or your spouse will, slice their hand right open, especially because your hands are wet, they're softer. Never put a knife in a sink.
Yeah, there must be rules at Red Arrow for that kind of cutlery
and
stuff.
That's like a number one.
It's a basic, huh?
And number two is don't throw the knife at the owner, even if you're upset.
Oh, not our Carol. That would not happen. Well, we need to take a break. When we come back, before you get to what you brought, I want to tell you about something that's going to interest you about ugly fruit that we have spoken about many times that I think you'll find interesting.
Stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, 107.7 WTPL, a service of Mama McDonough's Irish Pub on Depot Street in Hillsboro. Healthy Solutions Spice Blends, find them, spiceblends.com. And Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Bedford, Londonderry, and in just a matter of days, North Conway, New Hampshire, integrityfit.com. Steve Freeman, member of the Manchester Food Co-op, is in studio with us. Wake the health up, America. Steve, we have spoken, and you've given us some stats that probably shouldn't be surprising, but they are, that a certain percentage of food that is produced or sold or whatever never gets consumed. It gets thrown out. And part of it is because it's not pretty.
That's correct. I forget what the numbers are on that. I do recall that about a third of food that is produced on the farms that are producing fruits and vegetables, not animal products, a third doesn't even come off the farm.
So, oh, wow.
And it's all edible. It becomes feed for livestock, et cetera.
Or compost, fertilizer.
It's all farmers. They do reuse it. So we get 2/3 of the bounty, and then like another 20% of that at the grocery store goes to trash because it becomes ugly or bruised and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there is a movement. I don't know if it's a movement, but certainly in Europe, they're opening up grocery stores now specifically focused on selling ugly food to teach you that the value of it doesn't have to be beautiful. And it really goes, I think it goes further than food. It goes to humanity. We are judgmental by nature. If you're not the pretty type, you might have more trouble making friends. That's who we are as humanity. So hopefully through food and nutrition, we can open up our eyes, open up our hearts, and start seeing the beauty inside.
Well, you may be happy to know that not only in Europe are they addressing it, but somebody is in this country that I wanted to share with you today. Over 6 billion pounds of fresh produce are left unharvested or unsold every year, so that's somebody's stat.
Right.
Much of it wasted for a ridiculous reason. The produce is blemished, okay, supporting what you've been telling us. In this case, blemished does not mean bruised or otherwise unfit for eating. It's just a word for fruits and vegetables that are a little too small, big, curvy, or funny looking. As a result, they're kept out of grocery stores and food service deliveries and tossed in a landfill.
Mm-hmm.
A startup called Imperfect is trying to change the common perception of ugly produce by delivering it to your door. The service, which just launched fruit and veggie box deliveries in Oakland and Berkeley, California, charges about half of what you'd pay for comparable produce at the grocery store. And I'll let you take this back with you. So if you want to find out more about it, in fact, there's a link if you go to, I probably can find the website where I sourced that from. But so what do you think? I mean, is that something that the Manchester Food Co-op could find a way to work with?
We have started to have this dialogue, and it was brought up Thursday night at our meeting. Could our mobile market truck be a venue into selling the ugly fruit? And if you look at a lot of local produce in particular, it's not the pretty, well-polished, beautiful pieces you see in the stores. It's how nature grew it. So sometimes, you know, the peach has a second rib on it or whatnot. So we definitely want to work on this to add it to our mission because it's perfectly healthy, perfectly tasty. It's just not perfect.
And cost-efficient for the customer because you would not sell it for the same price probably as the pretty fruit.
Yep. So we are working on that. We're figuring out whether we can launch this on the food truck or on the mobile market, or whether we will have it when the store opens. But there's no reason not to. In Manchester, I might have spoken of this before, we have a lot of great ethnic restaurants in this town from all over the world. And if you go there and you're brave and you order something that you can't pronounce, it's unrecognizable. And you get to know the chef or the owner, and he tells you, I'm like, we don't, you know, there's cuts of meats, meats in particular. We eat, I don't know, say 25 of the choice cuts of meat from your typical cattle. There's another 25 cuts that go to all the other countries, and they're typically on the bone, or they take a little more work. But as you know, where the bone is where the flavor is. So these ethnic restaurants, they do a great job with it, and they do stuff that you just don't get in a typical fancy restaurant or decent restaurant in America. And on that note, apples is what I wanted to talk about today. Apples have their own process of protecting themselves with their skin and how they go from seed to a final fruit that's edible off the tree. And often we only eat in this country, I don't know what the number is, but let's just call it around 20 varieties of apples. And there's like 600 varieties of apples. We've taken sort of the best, the prettiest, the roundest, the ones that have the nicest blush to them, and that's what we sell. So we're losing out on hundreds of types of varieties of apples that are just far superior in flavor and texture, but they're not shipping friendly, so we've minimized what we're consuming now.
So you would find those kinds of apples probably at a few apple orchards that are dabbling in that. I'm thinking of one place up in the Upper Valley around Hanover somewhere in there that I saw on Chronicle a couple of years ago that really has a big variety of fruit, that some of which you would not find at your local stores.
Just at the Manchester's Farmers Market. I wish I took better notes. I got a couple varieties this past Thursday. Don't know what they are. They're not perfectly round and, you know, beautiful, but they're absolutely delicious. They taste like an apple, and an apple is a fantastic fruit to have in your diet daily. Apples are just starting to become available fresh and local. It's a limited window, of course. So when you're getting apples through the winter, those are apples that are grown before they're ripe, picked from the tree, put in a cooler, a little bit of gas to keep them from ripening, so that when they get on the truck to be shipped to New Hampshire from Washington or wherever they're coming from, they're slowly ripening in the truck. But they've been sort of cut from the tree, cut from their lifeline, stored for 6 months, and then brought to us. So again, eat local, wake the health up, America. Now's the time in New Hampshire and New England to start buying local apples. And, you know, a couple weeks from now, you're going to have apples
galore,
abundant everywhere, and you get tired of it. But it's a short window, so you got to kind of try and eat in season.
It's longer than peaches, though.
Yeah, peaches, I think we have another week or two.
But yeah, that's about it.
And I've actually noticed the peaches in the past 2 weeks. I've been buying them every week. They're changing. Their flavor is changing, and I'm trying to buy from different orchards, and it's just like amazing.
Where's your favorite one? Which orchard?
Hackleboro out of, where are they, Dunbarton or Canterbury, I think. They're small. They're super fuzzy. They have a very, very pronounced rib, and they're just delicious. And I also bought some, I don't remember the name, but they're plums from Hackleboro. They're all about the size of a jawbreaker I used to like as a kid, a pinball or something, and they're like three bites worth of plums, and they're sweet, a little bit of tart and bitter. It's nothing you get in the store, you know, because you get one variety of those red plums in the store.
Yeah, and they're hard
That's
as
true.
Heck.
And
yeah,
they're
generally.
They're not good.
Yeah.
And like I said last week, the pits of these naturally ripened fruit, they fall clean of the fruit.
Yeah.
They're not stuck to the fruit. They're not dried out and cracking inside. They're picked at the peak of perfection.
I thought of you this morning as I had a peach. I said, no, I can't get myself to suck on this thing. You're the guy that sucks the meat out of the lobster legs too, probably.
No. That's a whole different flavor. No, I don't have time for that.
No kidding. Me too.
I don't like the flavor of it, and I don't like that flavor, and I don't eat the tamale either. No. And lobster, you know, I was out to dinner with some friends Saturday night, and they said, do you want to order the lobster stuff with this? I'm like, no, I'm in a restaurant. I order lobster. I want to be outside with beer and bathing suit and sunny weather and babes, and I don't want to eat in a proper restaurant with a fork and knife when I'm eating a lobster.
Have you ever been to a crab shack in Maryland?
I may have been to a crab shack that where it's like a picnic, a state campground.
Exactly. It's extremely loud. You can't have conversation. You get a wooden mallet and a big bowl of crabs in the middle of the table and butcher paper on the and you just
it's
beat
so
the crab out of it. It's very barbaric.
And
there's meat flying all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting your hair from other
there's
people.
There's a place in Florida near where my mom lives down there in Hollywood that they do that. We go visit that.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And I, my opinion, I think most of my friends share this, crab is 10 times better than lobster.
I agree.
I love crab. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Exactly.
And it's,
all right, quick question because we're almost out of time. I'm
going to
be making some stuff that requires apples in January, and I want to buy local. What's my best way to keep it so it's still going to be, it's going to act like I want it to in January? Should I cut it up and put it in the freezer? What should I do?
That's the one piece of information I didn't bring with me today is how to store them long term.
I
tried opening the link.
Freezing apples? I don't know.
I think you can freeze them.
I think
it's going
to
change
too.
The texture because they're heavily filled with water.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you may want to put a little bit of salt or sugar on it before you preserve it. If you were a food manufacturer, it'd be sodium bicarbonate dihexamine monolithophene or something like that.
I got a bunch of that at home.
Yeah, everyone does. Yeah. We're going to sell it in bulk at the co-op.
All right, you're done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Steve. Wake the health up, America. We're always learning something different.
Love this man.
Up next, Kale and Company, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye.